Chapter 5 Extraterrestrial Concepts of Energy.
Lia, the woman who claimed she came from a distant place, beyond our star group, called Anstria, Mexican pronunciation, or Anstria, had ruptured the foundation of scientific skepticism, leaving it an embarrassment to an Earthman, according to her accounts to me. That Thursday I had sat down to write up all that I could remember of my interview with Lia, in that garden of the city of Cuernavaca. Soon the recollections vibrated in my mind, and I began to write that which Lia had told me.
The scientist of your planet will discover, around 1990 or a little before, new sources of energy coming from space. In the course of recent years there has been lively interact in the energy which surrounds some planets in greater quantity than others, because not all celestial bodies vibrate with the same intensity of energy, but it will be around the end of 1985 when they will become more interested in the satellites of planets than the planets themselves. Phobos and Deimos, moons of the planet Mars, contain an energy greater than the terrestrial satellite, the Moon. This will make the scientists of your planet come to execute some erroneous changes which later they themselves will correct. Due to the conformation of those bodies, attentive to the fact that their characteristics are very strange, they will think that these bodies were seeded artificially, or that a strange most powerful force had brought them to that place through space. What happened in truth was that a superior civilization initiated some thousands of years ago a reconstruction of energy of the systems that surround the star group. And I refer to that to which you pertain. This superior civilization to which I refer can be found in a star group near your own which we have called Pleiades. Returning to the strange characteristics of the satellites, I can inform you that some lost a great part of their power when there occurred the collision in your solar system.
Collision? I asked.
All of the planets of your solar system took part in that collision.
Yes. Now I remember. You have told me something about that.
Very well. When the interspatial patrols took notice of the anomaly that existed in the energy of said bodies, they initiated an operation really impressive for its delicacy and immense proportion, to re-implant the satellites in their places. Some were surrounded and injected with pure energy. Other planets had one satellite in orbit. The Earth originally had no satellite. That was found in the fourth place in the solar system. As a consequence of the collision one day it lost its motion and the planet experienced great convulsions as well as continuous changes in polar magnetization, for which the Earth began to disperse itself, and the orbit became more dense. The great extension of land on the Earth opened up and formed into continents and islands. Other land was inundated forever. The planet became very chaotic for the existence of life. It was studied so intently that on some occasions they came to discover reptiles on the surface and all others were covered by enormous seas. Plankton were found on the tops of a mountain and trees were broken off at their roots and lay on the bottom of the ocean. The planet released great quantities of its own energy in its uncertain orbit, for which the level of life was insecure. They consecrated themselves to revitalizing the planet. After an urgent interplanetary meeting in view of the possibility that the system could be in grave danger of causing more and more collisions even beyond that which you call the Pleiades, a community of superiors was invited to see what they could do about the desperate situation. And with the help of projectors of condensed energy they slowly saved the orbit. If this procedure has been carried out with a certain rapidity, the planet could have succumbed to the violent shock of energies, internally and externally. By this route they found, when they discovered this, that it was necessary to place a rectifier satellite in orbit, and they adopted the Moon. For that advanced community this was easy, but for other communities still in development, such as mine, this was astonishing. To register the helpful procedures, and due to the existence of an important treaty and external help that existed, It was necessary that all knowledges that were a part of the operation be registered in the archives of the universe as precedents for those inhabitants of planets still behind in measures of help such as this. To construct systems to this level much aids other communities, therefore even for the advanced community this effort was relatively simple. Other communities agreed that this was an authentic wonder. The interior civilizations did not have the capacity to recognize the true value of such means. But this also is because of their scarce comparative knowledges. Because of this, the scientists of your Earth will find that each one of those satellites to which I refer, Phobos and Deimos, emit different energies and that some, sick, orbit in different directions from the others. This is a consequence of having orbited toward only one point before the solar holocaust and that after, by the same impact, caused the same body to orbit on a point diametrically opposite. Though they could not correct the movement there, it was possible to conserve the same balance with the imposition of two satellites that would neutralize its orbital sensitivity. Phobos and Deimos were adapted as energizers.
Are you telling me that some satellites are artificial the moon also?
Not only some satellites, in other stellar aggregations there are truly extraordinary implants. For example, they have succeeded in reviving one star threatened with the end of life of two inhabited planets that received its heat and which, by the function of photosynthesis, conducted. The life there is not like that of your planet. It is not exactly a beautiful world like yours. But the star, despite its time of life not being long, has succeeded in retaining there some specimens, and for such its function is indispensable. The manner in which they made calculations and extracted great quantities of energy that in turn was injected, was by methods that perhaps to you would seem incredible. When they inject pure energy, they use the same energy as the injector. It may surprise you to know that one cubic decimeter of energy accumulated and concentrated in accordance with the most advanced procedures, could supply your sun with enough that it could function hundreds of millions of years more.
Is that possible? I asked. Lia did not pay much attention to my gesture of surprise and continued speaking.
The oxygen can also be concentrated to a level sufficient for one planet, in which it is indispensable to realize experiences, where, in the scarcity of oxygen, they construct transparent cupolas out of solid titanium imbued with crystallized oxygen, which is then placed in a recipient of oxygen. In this manner it can obtain for itself an ample supply in a determined place. The superior civilizations continually advance in their scientific plans so much that in actuality it is not necessary to concentrate oxygen in cupolas like we do it, but they transform all of the planet in accordance to its needs. For this I tell you that it is very important that you know the principal energies of the molecule. At least you should understand that in space all is controlled to a level of energy by inertia.
What else have you seen in your crystal ball? I asked sardonically and amused.
You are no longer as skeptical as at the beginning of our friendship, and I have no crystal ball nor any other things. I, like many of my cohabitants, do not possess a sphere of crystal, but know many things about your planet because we have studied it consciously. You know that upon observing how you use the energy power in your world, we showed surprise and worry. Because altogether, such use of that same energy, due to the scarcity of appropriate places to store it, is wasteful. Toward the end of 1986, it will be possible for your scientists to obtain new forms of energy in their laboratories, very rudimentary to be sure. All this comes to the terrestrials, in their search for new supplies of alimentation, but that is not exactly what impels them. More likely trying to place themselves in the vanguard of knowledge to use this to their own advantage. But all is in vain if they do not possess the true knowledge of the energy that vibrates in every cell. For example, in past years we studied the British who tried to unite the cells of a chicken and yeast. In their turn the American scientists, not desiring to remain behind, tried to fuse human cells with cells of the tobacco plant. It was judged that you were doing this in the way of experiments on the cancer process. Nevertheless, nobody could achieve the fusion of one human cell with a vegetable cell precisely because these are not in accord in energy. It is as if you tried to make a new and powerful weapon that would operate utilizing a fusion or combustion of gasoline and plutonium, speaking in terrestrial terms. Illogical and unnecessary? Thus it is. For that we can also tell you that these cellular unions could be achieved if they used a stabilizer of energy. The terrestrial scientists must take into account the vibrational grade of energy. Carrots do not require such an amount of energy for their propagation as human cells. Nevertheless, success will be attained and they will encounter a protein that can reproduce itself with a minimum of care even in the most rustic of laboratories. At first it will require a minimal of solar energy, but later these scientists will be surprised of its unusual volume each time it grows, and this will be such that there will not remain room for those scientists in said laboratories. It will be a hopeful step for the hungry. It will be experimented with first in the poor countries such as India and Nigeria, but unfortunately this also will provoke dependency and the producing country could come to be a manipulator.
Who will discover it?
A group of scientists.
Can you see through time?
Not necessarily. Perhaps we could discover marvels in space and advance ourselves in time. The same occurs in your world when you travel. If you travel toward the east, you gain a day and vice versa. We have discovered that if we align our ships toward the east, we run the risk of arriving at a civilization or two before yours. 1 degree is perhaps sufficient to retard the process of our cycle, or of that which you call time. If we advance toward the north, we can fall into the error of arriving beyond the year 2030. The universe is inscrutable, even for us, if we do not know enough to conduct ourselves in accordance with natural law.